And you're listening to Flashpoints on KPFA. Robert Knight is one of Pacifica Radio's most eloquent on-air producers and skillful investigative reporters. Just before airtime, Flashpoints producer Noel Hanrahan recorded this interview at a protest taking place in front of WBAI, where angry listeners have gathered to register their rage about Robert Knight's banning from WBAI late last night.
My name is Noel Hanrahan, and you're tuned to Flashpoints. Those were the voices of protesters outside of WBAI. We're joined on the phone right now by Bob Lederer, a programmer at WBAI and a member of Friends of WBAI. What's going on at WBAI right now?
Well, there's a very spirited protest going on outside the station against the most recent of the... now 22 programmers and staff who've been purged by current management under the direction of the Pacifica National Board, and that's Robert Knight, a widely beloved and award-winning producer and news reporter. He was given a memo as he walked into the station last night saying that his program, which has been many years on the air called Earthwatch, had been canceled, and he was barred from here on from any role at the station as a host, co-host, substitute host, or a producer. And so there's a lot of people who are extremely angry that the wave of attacks on people who are both progressive and left programmers, but also have been dissidents against the direction of Pacifica National. Once again, another one has been picked off, and the reign of terror continues.
This is Noel Hanrahan of Flashpoints. We called Utrice Lee throughout the whole conversation. She repeated that she was not going to talk about any personnel issues. We also spoke with news director Jose Santiago at WBAI. He was more forthcoming. He said that he wasn't aware of the firing. He hadn't been told specifically about it, and that he still assumed Robert Knight was working in the news department. What more do you know about that?
We have a section of the memo that Robert was given, and it reads as follows very briefly. This is to inform you that effective Thursday, July 26th, your program Earthwatch is canceled. You are no longer a host of this program or any other program at this time. You may not co-host, substitute as host, produce for, or contribute to any other program at this time.
Can you tell us what has Robert's role been at WBAI over the last 20 years?
Well, Robert has had a diversity of roles that have been very important at different times in our history. From the late 70s to the mid 80s, he was the director of the news department. Then later, he and KPFA producer Dennis Bernstein, who was at WBAI, together launched the very cutting-edge program originally called ContraGate and later changed to Undercurrents. It started by exposing the ContraGate scandal under Reagan and then went on to a more broad investigation of U.S. foreign policy and destabilization and attacks on third world countries that was widely acclaimed and nationally syndicated. And then throughout the 90s, and in 1989, he did exclusive reporting uncovering various war crimes by the U.S. government against the people of Panama during that invasion, for which he won a Polk Award, one of the most prestigious awards in journalism. And then throughout the 90s, he did his unpaid program, weekly program Earthwatch, on a range of international, national issues, particularly strong on environmental issues. And also, as the late 90s went on, the struggle at Pacifica, he became one of the most consistent reporters on his show about the conflicts within Pacifica and putting a variety of voices on the air. And up till very recently, and the last show he did before he was thrown off last week was about the latest changes on the board, and he actually had on live the recently resigned member of the board majority, Andrea Sisco, from New York. So he had been a consistent voice on a lot of issues, but most importantly in the immediate context, a very strong supporter of the dissident movement to reclaim the network. And there's the continued climate of terror at the station. I was just speaking to a worker inside the station, one of the paid staff, who has been somewhat unhappy and spoken out against some of the conditions there, and he is facing intense harassment from the management. So this is the kind of thing that just is getting worse and worse with the cameras and the harassment, and now the latest firing that nobody knows what's going to happen next. But what we do know is that the tide is turning at the level of the national board. We have we've been able to put pressure so that there's, I guess, about four board members have resigned in the last few months, and now the hijackers, the pro-government hijackers, have only a 6-5 majority. So if we keep the pressure up, I think we can win this.
Well, thank you, Bob Lederer from WBAI at a demonstration outside the offices on Wall Street of WBAI. Thank you so much for joining us.
And as you heard, for 20 years, Robert Knight has broken stories by day and produced late-night radio that has mesmerized New York City listeners. He is a Polk Award-winning journalist whose courageous work during the U.S. invasion of Panama was captured in the Academy Award-winning documentary, The Panama Deception. The entirety of this show will be devoted to last night's banning of Robert Knight from the airwaves of WBAI. By the way, he is now a special correspondent for Flashpoints, and you'll be hearing more about that later as well. And later on in this broadcast, we'll be joined by Robert Knight from New York City. One moment, we'll be talking to a number of people about his work. But first, here is Robert being interviewed for the Panama Deception and giving his analysis of the deadly U.S. invasion of Panama. Listen to this.
The invasion sets the stage for the wars of the 21st century in South America. The 2,000-mile invasion from Washington to Panama City took place primarily with bases from the United States. The essential value of the Southern Command is to give another 2,000 miles of intervention capability, which takes us right into the heart of the Andean coca-producing region, where the wars of the next decade are entirely likely to take place.
That was Robert Knight in a clip from the Panama Deception. As we said earlier, Robert was given the George Polk Award for his courageous reporting of that Panama invasion. He was in Panama at the time. Robert was also responsible for the interview with Manuel Noriega while he was still in hiding in Panama, when nobody else in the world knew where Manuel Noriega was. Robert Knight interviewed Manuel Noriega, and Noriega then, that interview was played on our special Undercurrents show that we co-hosted in New York City. That's the kind of reporting that won him the George Polk Award. We are now joined on a very shaky telephone line by Bernard White. He is the former program director of WBAI, fired in the early morning on what's now called the Christmas coup. Bernard, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I do apologize for this line.
All right, well, we're going to just break right through that line and do our best. Bernard, why don't you just spend a minute talking about, you've worked with Robert Knight for some 2 decades. Tell us about his unique talents and his multiple contributions to WBAI and Pacifica.
Well, you know, I started working at WBAI on November 22nd of 1980. And at that time, Robert Knight was the news director. And I must admit, I told Robert that also, that a lot of what I've learned about radio, I learned by sitting there and watching Robert work. Robert is one of those folks who, you know, there are some teachers who can sit there and lecture to you about what it is they do and why it is that you should do it. Robert is one of those folks that if you sit there and you watch and you begin to understand what he's doing, you just become fascinated by his many abilities, his ability to take complex issues and dissect them and extract from them those salient points to give you the essence of what the issues are all about. He was, you know, he gave me an opportunity to cover stories. He really explained to me what news was all about, what reporting was all about, what integrity was all about. And the whole time that I've known Robert, he's always maintained that sense of integrity. It's just a real tragedy what is happening at WBAI right now, when the historical memory is being slowly eradicated from WBAI, where the integrity is also going with that memory. Because when I first came to WBAI, they used to be at a church over on 62nd Street. And on the entrance of the station of the master control, there was a big sign that said, "Always tell the truth on the air." I was listening to the radio to BAI just a few moments ago as I left the demonstration down on Wall Street. And Utrice Lee came to the air, okay, how you doing? Who was talking about, her position was that Robert Knight was not fired, that he was suspended indefinitely. You know, this kind of playing with the intelligence of our listeners has caused a really strong reaction from our listeners, because one of the things that characterizes people who listen to Pacifica is their sense of justice, their level of intelligence, and their integrity. And that is all being played with right now by this present regime at WBAI. The same way that we were disrespected in the manner in which we were terminated, Robert came up last night to do his program. He had just left Tuya, Mississippi.
Texas.
Tuya, Texas, to take a look at some real blatant, overt injustice and racial profiling that was going on down there. And he came back, he rushed back to present that to the audience. And he was not told that he wasn't going to have a program until he arrived at the radio station. And, you know, just to think that the people who have given a lot of time, Robert is responsible for raising a lot of money for the radio station, but more than raising the money, just keeping people, giving people the feeling that they are listening to something intelligent, that they can trust what's being heard on the air. Those are the things that Robert Knight brought to the air. He was taken off. Why? Probably because he maintained his integrity. Because he did wind up doing programs that still called on people to think for themselves, to think about what's going on, to recognize that something was happening here and that they needed to become involved in it. And it's, you know, it's just another in a series of tragedies that have been happening at WBAI as well as throughout the network.
You're listening to Flashpoints on KPFA. We are talking about the banning of longtime Polk Award-winning producer Robert Knight, now a special correspondent for this show, Flashpoints. I was definitely moved by what you were saying earlier, Robert. Saying earlier, Bernard, about Robert. He is a magician with the radio. You learn just by being near him, and it is magical because you can see him juggling information and analysis, and all of a sudden it comes out of the other end of that radio and it makes sense. And if you're just in the room with him, you learn. And I want to say, along with you, Bernard White, that I got my beginnings in radio by just sitting in a room with Robert Knight and watching him work. I could barely put one sentence after another sentence and know where the comma was. And just by watching him work, I learned, I grew, he was patient, there were no lectures, but it came to you what it meant to do radio. Before you leave us, Bernard, I want you to just remind people the significance of the loss of another voice based on now what is called WBAI. I mean, what is left there on the air?
Well, I tell you, a good indication is what replaced Robert last night. What replaced Robert last night was an hour and a half discussion about alien abduction.
Yeah.
Who claimed to be abducted by aliens. I'm not saying that has no place on the radio. I do believe that it does have a place, but it really left one with a real empty feeling and a sense of what has been missed. While Robert watched the earth at the Heavens. They wound up coming in and replacing him.
Describe that program, Earthwatch, that Robert does. It's almost indescribable, isn't it?
Well, it is indescribable, because what it is, I think it's reflective of what possibilities exist in radio. Robert had the ability to take both culture as well as information and mix them together. So you would hear music that would just tie in to what was being said or buttress the point of what was being said. And it was all like one continuous flow from the beginning of the program to the very end. It just moved. There were times where he would present something that would make you laugh hysterically, and other times when he would bring something that would almost make you cry hysterically. He took a look at what was happening in various quadrants of the galaxy, as well as what was happening on 125th Street in Harlem, and tied them all in together. And that kind of magic doesn't come along often. And when you have the opportunity to have something of that like that at a listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station, you really appreciate it, because he used the equipment he took it to its limits. And sometimes you would come in and Robert would have three tape recorders, three reel-to-reels rolling. He'd have a record on. He'd have a CD on, and he's in the back, the maestro, just playing all of these various components and making them into one part. So, you know, it's a real tragedy. I think the listeners, as more and more of them hear about what has happened, that they're going to begin to come together and really put even additional pressure on WBAI, because it's becoming apparent that all political programming, all programmings of people who are independent thinkers, are being eradicated from the radio.
All right, Bernard White, we're going to let you. We know you're on your way to an event there. If you haven't arrived already, you are
in front. The people are looking at me and saying, "Why aren't you inside talking?"
All right. Well, because you're outside talking and you're inside KPFA, and we thank you for joining us on this special devoted to the firing last night of Robert Knight. I shouldn't say firing, because they didn't use that word, but clearly he is banned from doing any kind of program at WBAI, and that's what we're talking about. Bernard White, former program director, now with the Pacifica Campaign. What is that? How do people get more information about the Pacifica Campaign?
Well, they can call the Pacifica Campaign at 646. I don't have the 800 number. That's 646-230-9588.
All right. I want to thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you very much.
My name is Noelle Hanrahan, and we're joined on the phone by Leslie Kagan. She's a dissident Pacifica National Board member calling us from New York. Leslie, welcome to Flashpoints.
Hi.
How does the banning of Robert Knight fit into the pattern of mismanagement that's happening at WBAI right now?
Well, I think, Bernard really, and Bob Lederer before him, really spoke to that really most dramatically since the December 22nd, what we call here in New York, the Christmas Who, when Bernard was fired, Valerie Van Isler, station manager, was fired, and Sharan Harper, the producer of the morning show, was fired. Since then, in those whatever it is, 7 or so months, I believe it's now 22 people have either been fired or banned. And the very language of banning people, you know, it makes it sound as if we're living in South Africa before Mandela.
Now, tell me, Leslie,
yes.
Who from the Pacifica National Cabal created this environment, and who's giving the orders?
Well, you know, this is a really interesting question that I and the other dissident board members have been trying to figure out for months now. I actually don't believe that anybody on the national board called up Utrice Lead and said you should ban Robert Knight from the station. I don't think it works that way. I think what's happened is that Utrice Lead has been given free rein to do whatever she wants and been given a pat on the head and a pat on the back, whatever, by Bessie Wash, who is the present executive director of the National Pacifica Foundation, and that the, quote, leadership, and I use the word very tentatively, but those now in control, let me put it that way, of the National Board, have have turned away. And instead of saying to Bessie Wash, you've got to rein in what Utrecht Lead is doing, you've got to stop her from doing that, instead of saying to Bessie Wash, you've got to go to New York and talk to the community, talk to the producers, paid and non-paid, talk to the local advisory board, talk to the listeners, and figure out, you know, how to get BAI back on track. Instead of doing all that, the national board leadership has let Bessie Wash and Utrecht Lead do whatever they want. And in so doing, they have, whether or not they meant to, they've given them the green light and the go-ahead. And that is extremely dangerous and something that they didn't have to do, especially since many of us, both the dissident board members, people in New York, you know, in and around WBAI, and for that matter, people around the country, have been urging the national board leadership to take aggressive positive action, or maybe a better way to say that is assertive positive action, to turn this situation around. So I don't think we have a situation where late at night somebody on the national board calls, or for that matter early in the morning, calls up Utrecht Lead and says, fire Robert Knight. It's a different kind of dynamic where they have not stopped her and not stopped Bessie Wash from doing incredible damage. Again, not only here in New York, not only to one show or one producer, but throughout the whole network.
You know, I'd just like to bring into the conversation Barbara Lubin, who's in studio. She was one of the first people to be arrested resisting and protesting Pacifica's firing of her own station manager, Nicole Sawaya, Robbie Osman, and Larry Bensky during the lockout. Barbara, jump on in.
Hi, Leslie. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yes, hi.
Must be an hour. I just wanted to say that Leslie has done an unbelievable job in New York and with all of us out here in working to make changes that will be healthy for our Pacifica and for us here at KPFA. And I'm really very appreciative of everything you have done, Leslie. And also, when Leslie says that the board members probably haven't done this, I agree with you. And we have to remember that our dissidents are five. They have six. So I think that we need to keep up the struggle on the streets and in the courtrooms. Many people have stepped off that board, and I think it's time to ratchet it up, and hopefully more will do the same.
You are listening to Flashpoints, if you haven't figured that out, on KPFA Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I'm in the studio with Noel Hanrahan, also Barbara Lubin. And the last voice you heard before Barbara Lubin is Leslie Kagan. She is a national board member here at Pacifica, at our beautiful free speech radio network that we are fighting to hold on to after what I consider an attempted corporate raid to steal these scrappy alternative radio stations away from us. Leslie Kagan, why do you think it's important for the people to stand up when somebody like Bessie Wash supports a banning that has been carried forth by Utrecht Lead? Why do we have to protect our people, and how do you recommend listeners respond?
Well, I think, you know, I come into this struggle that is a struggle to reclaim not only WBAI but the whole Pacifica network and get it back on mission. I come into this as a progressive leftist social change activist. And with that orientation, I think it's important for people to stand up whenever there is an injustice, whenever a wrong is done, whenever oppression is carried out. And I think that I'm not talking rhetoric here. I mean, I really honestly mean this. And if we don't understand that the unilateral and arbitrary firing, whatever language, you know, Utrecht Lead has used, the firing, the banning of Robert Knight, if we don't understand that as an injustice, then we don't understand what's going on throughout this network. Robert Knight, it's not just the question of Robert Knight, it's the politics and the experience and the creativity and the commitment to free speech, corporate-free, community-based radio that Robert Knight brings, you know, to the air at BAI. That's what's being challenged when he's banned from the station. That's what's being, the message that's going out is that not only can we get Robert Knight off the air, but we, that is those presently in charge of Pacifica and at WBAI, that we can determine what will be going on the air. And if we're not standing up for our brothers and sisters when it comes down on them individually, then how are we going to stand up in the face of the overall challenge? And that is to get rid of a mentality and individual people who are now in leadership, now in control, maybe that's a better word to use, now in control of Pacifica, who bring to that that position a corporate mentality. So we have to figure out how we challenge the whole thing, and part of that is standing up when any individual is threatened or, you know, taken off the air or arbitrarily dismissed. In terms of what people can do, I think there's a role for everybody, whether you are a member of a local advisory board, whether you're a paid, staff person, whether you're a volunteer at a station, an on-air program person or a behind-the-scenes person, and also if you're a listener. For one thing, I think it is very, very important to let those in charge, Utrice Lead in New York, Desi Wash in Washington, and those now controlling the national board, John Murdoch, Ken Ford, et cetera, to hear from you. Those of you who have access to the airwaves, who have a microphone, to use that microphone to make your voices heard, and to encourage other people to make their voices heard. Sometimes that means demonstrations, picket lines and protests and marches and rallies. I believe in public protests. I think that's part of a democratic process. And I dare say, and I say this fully accepting my responsibility to keep the Pacifica Foundation financially sound and fiscally sound, sometimes you have to withhold your dollars in order to make a point. This network is overwhelmingly supported by the listeners. The listeners have leverage that nobody else has in this struggle, and that is to withhold your dollars. And I hate having to say that, but in fact, the situation is so severe that is a tactic that we cannot rule out and need to think about when the next fund drive comes around. And again, I say that because I believe that will help us reclaim and retake, if you will, this whole network, and in so doing, we will make all of our stations and the Pacifica Foundation that much stronger, both politically and financially.
This is Barbara, and I'm remembering, Dennis, 10 years ago meeting you at the Boonville Hotel that night. It was the first time I ever met you. Judy Barry was there.
Colburn, there's a bunch of people.
It was pretty remarkable. And the one thing I recall most about our meeting was you launching in and telling me about this man named Robert Knight. And it started then, and it has never stopped from you and your desire and your dream to have him be part of our West Coast KPFA. And that's why Lauren Coodley and myself and Robbie and Friends of Free Speech Radio, Friends of Flashpoint came together. Friends of Flashpoint certainly came together, and we decided that we wanted Robert Knight to be part of this. This is not new. This is something that we started working on a long time ago. And many people came to the event that we did that raised the money that is now going to help Robert Knight and has been helping Robert Knight and is buying the equipment and the ISDN line that's going to be put into his house, so that even though WBAI might think they don't want Robert Knight around, we out here do, and until he is reinstated back at BAI, and even afterwards, he will be part of our program here every night. And it's very exciting to me. It's horrifying what's happening. As Leslie says, we have to be in the streets. We have to rejuvenate ourselves and get out there. We have to do everything we can to show our support for what is happening at BAI and what is happening here in our own station. This is horrendous what's happening here when there's no money for postage, when people are not being hired. We are desperate and they are desperate. And I totally agree with Leslie, as most of this listening audience knows, how strongly Friends of Free Speech Radio feel about not raising money, not giving those people the money to hire the kinds of law firms that they are now trying to hire. If you give your money,
That is what it's going for. You know, often we feel, this is Noelle Hanrahan of Flashpoints, it's very hard to get one reel of tape here. We have programs that are being produced outside this station because they're not allowed to be produced inside. That's a form of censorship. Free speech radio news is one of the best programs that we have on the air, yet it's not allowed inside the walls of this station. And we're spending money. Friends of Free Speech Radio is spending money on that broadcast, and that is not your dollars. The half-hour cast that you get every single night is being paid through alternative funds because people inside the station are scared to have the programs that we need in here. That's why we're buying an ISDN line for Robert Knight. That's why we're getting the news that we need to hear on this radio station, and we're doing it. We're going to do it by hook or crook, and you know, in fact, we've done it for 10 years. There's been programs that have been kept off this station.
And if you want to help, and if you want to support this effort by Friends of Flashpoints, you can get in touch with Friends of Free Speech Radio at 510-548-0542. All of this takes money.
You know, and it really does. It takes every kind of action. I am so, so encouraged by the lab's actions, the fact that we have democracy, we have a lab that's functioning here. That is a major chess play in terms of taking the power away from Pacifica. We also have activists that are picketing at Ken Ford's place and are picketing at Epstein, Becker, and Green, and now we're going to be picking at the new law firms. That's really important.
And we have...
Actually, can I jump in for a second? Because you used the term, you know, taking the power away from Pacifica. I think what our goal here is to make each of these five stations, to reclaim each of these five stations, and to make them strong community-based radio stations, and in so doing, make the national entity we call Pacifica Radio what it should be. I don't think it's either or, local or national. I think the national is as strong as the locals are, and having a strong national can feed back into the locals and make those stations, you know, that really the community stations that we need.
All right, Leslie Kagan, I know you have an appointment. You've already, I know you're already running late for that appointment. We thank you very much, national board member. They call you dissident. We call you a friend.
And a hero.
And a hero. And we thank you for the good support and your willingness to fly back and forth across the country to fight this fight with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
I just want to say, if Robert is listening, you know, it's only a matter of time before he will be back on WBAI with all the other fired in band.
Inshallah.
And not only is he listening, but in one moment, you here in the KPFA audience, and as we stream live around the world, will be listening to Robert Knight, but he will be joining us in un momento. Stay with us.
This is Lynn Chadwick, Executive Director of Pacifica, with a message for our listeners. Over the last several months, there has been a good deal of confusion and speculation about some changes made within the Pacifica organization. I had previously chosen not to go on air to discuss these matters for two reasons. First, internal Pacifica issues and management decisions are precisely that, internal. We have made decisions that reflect the best management practices for the organization, regardless of their popularity. Responsibility to our listeners. As a non-profit organization, and we have a responsibility to cost-effective manner run the organization in the most efficient and cost-effective manner possible. This is not this is not a community radio. They also have a responsibility to...
Well, that was a sound production of Peter Bojan, from WBAI.
David Gans.
Is it David Gans? David Gans, who does the Grateful Dead show here, sort of did some wordplay, some production around a statement made by the former executive director, Lynn Chadwick, who did the first set of firings and the first set of arrests, who closed down this radio station, nailed down, locked down, hired armed guards to drag us out of here. Well, now the story continues. We have a new executive director, Bessie Wash, but the policies of censorship, of intimidation, of banning, of firing, of lockout, of surveillance continue. And we continue to fight this battle back. We're going to purge these corporate raiders, and it's going to happen pretty damn soon. Joining us now is Flashpoint special correspondent Robert Knight. Robert, good evening.
Hello, Dennis. You know, I've been talking to my heart and telling it that it has no room for sadness because I'm once again learning that I have the best friends, the most accomplished colleagues, and the smartest listeners in the world. And today is just a step on our path to victory. And fortunately, we're being attacked with dull swords, and we will win.
Robert, let's just take a look at what happened last night. You returned late from Tulia, Texas, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about what you were doing there. You rushed into the station. You were prepared to do your show, Earthwatch. How long have you been doing Earthwatch?
Well, 24 years with my involvement and then production at the station. I've spent half my life involved with WBAI. And as of 11:59 last night, the program Earthwatch no longer exists, at least in the cosmos of station manager Utrecht Lead.
Well, let me just state right here that Earthwatch in Exile is welcome any day of the week on Flashpoints. But so
did you know that, I swear to God, the program they put on to replace Earthwatch was a show about UFOs. And I'm sure that, you know, in the extraterrestrial realm, perhaps there are race, class, and political issues. But I was covering that on Earth. And I just returned from Tulia and intended to present the voices of people of color, people who are white, who have taken progressive actions in terms of the targeting of half the adult black male population of this Texas panhandle town. But instead, a recently hired nutrition presented a program on UFOs.
Now, so you were told right there at 11:59 that you no longer had your show that you had been doing for over two decades.
That's right. The person interposed himself in the door leading into the studio and pulled a folded envelope out of his pocket and told me to read this. And this is actually two memoranda. One of them you might remember, Dennis, because it dredges up the unactionable claim that Utrecht Lead has tried to make on me for my nearly seriously being injured by unstable equipment that fell over. The memoranda said that I was suspended without pay from the news department. A memorandum said, this is to inform you that effective Thursday, July 26th, your program, Earthwatch, is canceled. You are no longer a host of this program or of any other program at this time. You may not co-host, substitute as host, produce for, or contribute to any other program on WBAI at this time. I'm not sure whether I'm also banned from listening to the station.
We're speaking with Robert Knight. He is a longtime producer, Polk Award-winning journalist, Dynamite investigative reporter, late-night magical radio producer, now banned from WBAI in New York. Robert, let's just take a moment. I really would like for you to tell people a little bit about the kinds of work you've been doing for WBAI over the years. Talk a little bit about your work as a reporter during the day. What are some of the stories that come to mind when you think about working at WBAI?
Well, I'll give that a try, anti-seriatim. The Sunday edition of the Amarillo Globe contains a paragraph that says, "Also, reporter Robert Knight of WBAI Radio in New York taped parts of the NAACP forum. Knight said his radio station has been following the Tulia story. Of course, it was first broken on wake-up call. Bernard White and Amy Goodman and others, and yourself, Dennis, I know, have done on Flashpoints a tremendous amount of work on that story. The my relationship with Wake Up Call, at the request of Somori Marksman that I come in and try it for 2 weeks. It ended up being 2 years. I worked as the morning news anchor for a program that had room for thought and the confidence to exercise it. As you know, Bernard, Amy, Sharon Harper, Dennis K. Bryant, and all of the key people on that show, including myself, ultimately, have been removed by Utrecht's lead. And I think about the teamwork that we have enjoyed. And, Dennis, I feel like a temptation in a Milli Vanilli world today. Before that, I, of course, did Earthwatch. I've interviewed, gosh, so many people, done strange experimental things. Terry Mullis on DNA, AIDS, and other issues. I recently interviewed the man who developed the Polaris nuclear submarine-based missile system. I've, done, gosh, well, many things. The metaphor of Earthwatch is to be an observer of things that happen on this Earth. And yet, I find in the memorandum from the current station manager at WBAI, Utrecht Lead, that I quote, recycle poor quality and dated material, end quote. Before that, of course, you well know, and I think the world knows, of our remarkable work together with the Contragate and Undercurrents team when you came in hot with the fervor of revelation and steamrolled it into existence. And we annoyed people, saved lives, and informed the listeners. That's something that seems to be not very much desired at WBAI these days, because with Utrecht Lead, there has been, with the December 22nd takeover, there has been basically managed by a fiercely loyal group of people who are philosophical tribalists, let us say, with a strong personal allegiance to Utrecht Lead, who has not the greatest amount of experience in producing radio other than talking.
Well, Robert, one of the big stories that you've been working on lately, besides Tulia, Texas, is the way in which surveillance, police surveillance, government surveillance has been being foisted upon us at every level. Interestingly enough, you did some of your most interesting work at how that surveillance was taking place at WBAI. Now, am I mistaken in saying that the person who handed you your banning notice is now the guy who's running the cameras?
Yes, that person is indeed a member of the operations department, which has a hidden monitor with at least 7 and the capability on one screen of as many as 9 cameras, which, Dennis, you know this as an investigative reporter. It is important to be able to communicate with people without inadvertent disclosure of their identity, or even of the reporter speaking with them. The cameras have been placed under, well, the installation of the cameras was not indigenous to the culture of WBAI, nor really ramrodded by WBAI. In fact, it's more a WPFW operation, because the technical director from that station, which was managed by Bessie Warsh before she became executive director, was the one who liaised with the ADT security company. These cameras are ubiquitous, and you cannot be at a desk, you cannot pick up a phone without those cameras having the capability of noting exactly when you picked up the phone. Now, if the Justice Department or a local DA or anybody use FBI using digital telephony knows that someone, a whistleblower, made a call at a certain time, with one subpoena, they can see who picked up the phone at that extension at that time. In other words, this has been made an Epstein, Becker, Green style, union busting, labor intimidating workplace under the leadership of Utrecht Lead for a security system that could have been installed for $79 with a camera outside the door to see who walks in.
Now we're talking to Robert Knight from New York, the recently banned programmer there, and my name is Noelle Hanrahan. Robert, I want to turn your attention to the topic of how many programmers are people of color who have recently been fired at BAI?
Most of them. Let's see. Bernard White, Jeran Harper, Janice K. Bryant, the list goes on. The supporters of the current regime at WBAI will say when the board is challenged that you're trying to put a good black man out of work or black woman out of work. Well, the Pacifica, the dissident movement, has put fewer people of color out of work than Utrecht Lead has.
I think that's really interesting. I'd also like you to comment on the fact that I really feel like our network is completely connected. What happens at WBAI has a direct effect on what we're able to do here and how we're able to survive. That's my instinct anyway, and that's why I think it's very important to defend every single act that happens in LA, in Houston, in Washington, and in New York, and I wanted to hear your perspective as well.
Absolutely. Excellent points were made by Barbara Lubin and by Leslie Kagan as well in regard to the simultaneity of some level of national operations, but with a strong indigenous progressive community base, polycultural community base. Now, there is an impulse among the amateurs now running Pacifica to try and imitate the commercial media and seek to maximize ratings by conforming. Well, we have found in our experience and history that we maximize ratings not by false calls for diversity, which has so often been used as a shoehorn for repression, but by divergence, by actually talking to real people and presenting information different from the corporate media. Now, doing that and being able to share something interesting to New York with KPFA, or, you know, imagine how wonderful it would have been had I been able to liaise with KPFT while covering Tulia. Well, that's not happening now, and that is because the spirit or body of Pacifica is under a demonic possession, as it were. By demonic, I mean that there are people on the board who are corporate thinkers, who are CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting Stampedes, who think that is, you know, that is consistent with the independent funding base that Lou Hill spoke about. We're talking about the direction of Bessie Wash. We're talking about a board that is the spawn of Mary Frances Berry. And we have moved from being represented as an institution at Pacifica by a union-busting law firm, and now being represented by a national security law firm with strong Democratic Party neoconservative loyalties.
You're listening to Flashpoints on KPFA, KPFB, and KFCF in Fresno. We're talking with our colleague, Flashpoints special correspondent Robert Knight, Polk Award-winning journalist, banned last night from WBAI after arriving at the station at 11:59 and being told that he will no longer be allowed to produce any programming at WBAI. And I have to come back to the Tulia, Texas, because there couldn't be a more important civil rights story of this century, than Tulia, Texas. Wouldn't you agree?
It is the culmination, the microcosm, the nadir of race, ethnic cleansing operating under the guise of drug wars and in support of the construction of prisons, America's fastest growing industry.
This is Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good about the people I'm with, Barbara.
I'm glad. And I want you to know that we are going to do everything we can do out here to keep you at least on our airways until you are once again welcomed back where you belong at your home at BAI. And we look forward to hearing from you more regularly than we have. And we are with you. And for the listening audience, those who want to help support all of this effort, please get in touch with me at Friends of Free Speech Radio, 510-548-0542. You know, it just seems like one after another that I am on the air asking people for money. You know, it's unbelievable. And I do want to remind the people that are listening that our lawyers, our bills, and what's facing us with our four lawsuits, it is adding up. And I'm asking you to support the lawsuits and not forget the people who are out there struggling. I mean, Carol Spooner has been working like a maniac. She's been unbelievable working. Sherry Gendelman, Tomas, Pete, Leslie, they have been remarkable. And in order to continue this battle, we're going to have to really go out there and spend. If we cannot resolve this in negotiations, we are going to have to raise a hell of a lot of money.
And you are listening to Flashpoints. Robert, we have about a minute left. Why don't you take the last minute and give us a sense of what is on your mind now and what you would like us to do to help you and to support this effort?
I'm a bit perplexed by the ambiguity of what happened when I called in the station this afternoon, late in the afternoon. I spoke with news director Jose Santiago there, and I asked him if the astonishing content of these memoranda was whether he was consonant with that. He told me that I hope to be brief momentarily, and then when I iterated to him what had happened, he said, well, work it out with them. I'm just trying to do my job. So I'm a bit uncertain about the status of that situation. But my final word is this, Dennis. For us, this too shall pass. For the corporate board, including their minions, including current station manager WBAI, Utrice Lead, for them, this too shall fail.
And that wraps it up for another edition of Flashpoints. Thank you, Robert Knight, Barbara, Noel Hanrahan. And as I said, that's it for this show. You can check SavePacifica.net for more information about everything that you heard. Check out the Pacifica campaign. Stay with us. Join us. We'll stand together. We will rout these corporate raiders. This show is called Flashpoints. It's produced every weekday from 5 to 6 by myself, Dennis Bernstein, with associate producers Noel Hanrahan and Yun Su. Technical director is Mary Bishop. If you've got comments for the program, please give us a call at 510-848-6767, extension 604, a taped copy, extension 625. Check our website out. We have links to everything that we do on this show, www.flashpoints.net. We thank our web maestro, John Lionheart, for all his hard work. And we thank you, the free speech supporters, for listening and standing with us.